Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life.
Welcome to Spirit School of Ministry podcast. Today, to my right, I have prophet, teacher, extraordinaire, Jeremiah Tasco.
Hello.
And to my left, which would be your right, would be our mantle prophet, yes. Pastor, Uncle Pastor Bob.
Yes.
No. Yes. There's thousands out there. We're seeing them.
Yes. Thousands.
All of you.
That's funny. I saw you in a little Pope car with plexiglass around you. Yeah.
Trust me.
Being like drawn through.
Trust me. You know I need the plexiglass.
I think it's to keep you in.
Yes.
Keep people safe from you.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good thing.
Do you realize we just started laughing again?
Of course.
The very beginning. They got
it's going to become a staple of our podcast.
What are they laughing about this time?
It's good times.
It is
so
good time.
Today. We had a Spirit School of a Ministry encounter a few months ago. It's something that we do to kick off our school year, we get together for a few days and we do some really in-depth training and activations and time together, just setting the stage for the school year and just kind of getting hearts and ready and our minds ready for what we're going to be encountering during the school year. Mm-hmm. And during that time, the Lord gave me a word, which I actually feel like I'm supposed to read it. So I'm going to read the word that the Lord gave me for the group at the time, which I feel it's also meant for somebody that's watching out there today.
That's good.
And then this is kind of what drove what our subject is today. Today we're going to be talking about the book of Esther as a story of identity. Mm. And so this word the Lord gave me is, "You are here for such a time as this," Esther 4:14. She was challenged to step out of what she knew and what was comfortable and into the divine plan God had for not only her, but the people she would impact, including her people. She saved an entire nation by just being herself. Coming here, which was to the encounter meeting, but coming to our podcast, to grow in your relationship with God will also allow you to grow in yourself. All you have to do is come as you are and as you have, with a hunger and thirst to be closer to God. So that was the word that the Lord had given me. Mm-hmm. And as that word was given to me, he expounded on it a little bit more specifically about Esther and Esther's identity. And how this is not only a story of how she delivered her people. That's how most people obviously know the book of Esther, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the story of her and her faith and knowing who she was and whose she was.
Yeah.
Because she was obviously born Hadassah and she was an orphan at a very young age and was given into the care and stewardship of her uncle. Mm-hmm. And her uncle was brought over as a slave and was in this Jewish like group, this community of people who were looked as being subservient, being underneath, and being not as valued as the rest of the individuals and the people in the community. Mm-hmm. So some of the, just I'm going to touch high fly over on some of the points because I really want to hear from Pastor Bob and JT about what the Lord is giving them. But the first and foremost thing, as we already discussed, is her name was changed, right? She went from being Hadassah to Esther. Hadassah was her birth name, and Esther was a name that was given to her to reflect a certain season and time and something that she was meant to do under that name, but she was still Hadassah. Hmm. She was still a Jew, even in her being called out of that place, that community that was looked at as being under. She was called out and brought to the king, who the king at that time really, he was very prideful, very egotistical and arrogant in the things that he had. He liked to exalt himself in showing off the things that he had. Mm-hmm. So his feasts, his wife, when he would give feasts, he made sure that people were drinking out of gold goblets. It was a all about him type of experience when it came to the king at that time. And so then the king calls, obviously, as we know, for Vashti, who was the queen at the time, called for her to come so that he could show her off. And she declined the invitation, which in that time, women were always supposed to be obedient to their husbands. And basically, when they were called, they were expected to show up. When she denied that request, she was being disobedient and almost, what's the word I'm looking for?
Defiant.
Yeah. Great word. Defiant in that moment. Mm-hmm. And so the advisors to the king said, well, then you need to basically cut her off. No longer make her the favored one. Go out and find somebody else. Mm-hmm. So he sent out. Then now we have Esther coming in to be evaluated mm-hmm. and tested, right, to see if she was worthy, and ends up gaining favor.
Right.
By just going in and being who she was. Her name may have been different from her birth name, but she was still representing herself as herself.
Right.
In her interactions with the king. Hmm. And so going into this place, she ended up becoming, everybody who met her favored her. The king ended up favoring her. And then through this, as we know, we'll, I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit more later. I think I want to stop there, though, and kind of hear what the Lord is giving you in regards to this place up to Hadassah to Esther, her being called to the palace,
right,
and then this interaction that we have. What is God giving to you? JT, do you want to start?
Sure. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I started taking notes because you're like, you're covering a lot and a bunch of stuff started flowing into my mind. First of all, I want to acknowledge the word that you got. And when you delivered it at Encounter to the students, it was well received. Also well curated. I'm going to say that. Mm. I want to open by saying, Athena, I just sense from the Holy Spirit, he wants to endorse you as a curator of his promises and of his secrets. Mm. Like he reveals things to you and you get to curate, the protect and, you know.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, incubate and see what the Lord's bringing through those things.
Yeah.
I know, it's a fun, you're kind of like, it's a kind of a
lot. What does that mean?
Well, we'll see. He'll define it. But so you were saying a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. So one thing that stood out to me right away, thank you for the context of the story of Esther. Esther's identity was stripped from her in almost every way you could think of. She didn't have a mother or a father. We just come into the story understanding she's an orphan. Mm. So her family identity has been stripped from her. Mm. Her national identity has been stripped from her because they were a conquered people. The Persian Empire took everything over. And those days when empires would take over and they would take women and children as slaves, because most of the men they killed or they maimed them so bad that they became, you know, lame servants, or they created eunuchs or what have you, they would do so much damage to the nation that they conquered. Then they would enslave them. And then what they would do is they would force them into the conquering kingdom's culture. And that's why they would give them new names. So they stripped her of her maiden or birth name, right? Her heritage name. I don't know. And this Holy Spirit was just speaking immediately to people in terms of identity, where they feel that their identity has been stripped from them, has been stripped from them in every way, shape, and form. But the redemptive story of Esther is that it was all restored to her at the end, and she thrived, even though, you know, there was this really horrific beginning of the story and her starting out in this place. The Lord, you know, equipped her, graced her, you know, caused her to be beautiful, also caused her to have some serious resilience, which was the second thing I was looking at was Vashti defied the king, right? Esther also defied the king. She went against his orders. Now, he didn't summon her. She showed up without a summons, right? So they both defied the king, but one was rejected and one was accepted.
Amen.
It was just very interesting. We can play with that a little bit. But her defiance gained her favor. Mm-hmm. Her defiance wasn't self-preserving, whereas Vashti's was self-preserving. She was defiant because of self. Mm-hmm. Esther was defiant for her people. And so it was selfless.
Yes.
And so she was willing to go and defy the king. But she was granted favor in the middle of that. Speaks to us about many things on many levels, but that's where I'm starting.
Okay.
Okay. toss that over to you, Pastor.
Oh, wow.
You got the ball. Remember the talking
Thanks
ball.
Thanks for nothing.
Hot potato.
Yeah, there's so much going on there. Yes. It's hard. Okay. We love to summarize Esther's book with, for such a time as this.
Right.
It's such a nice little statement, and then it's all focused on that. But there was stuff going on,
serious stuff.
Like serious stuff. Like you were saying, some of the things we're talking about here, this is a foreign kingdom with their way. This is the world.
Yeah.
This is the world system.
Yes.
Just like you said, they, you know, what they did to people then, God's people, just like they did in the book of Daniel, they stripped them of their name, their title, their who they were, everything about their life. They took away, right, to impose the world system on these people. Jeez. So it's easy to go right past, you know, chapter one and the queen and all that. And it's funny, when I think about it, I study it, that's so funny. In the world, Vashti, the queen, we're gonna catch trouble with this. She reminds me of the Me Too movement. No, really, this is a worldly move into. By the way, she had dignity, right? There was nothing wrong with that. Just like I think the Me Too thing is like, hey, let's not, you know, hey, we're women, we're being taken advantage. She was. You know, obviously in that culture, you know, even though she had the queen title, she was as much as a slave as Esther in many ways, if you actually studied all that out. And so, you know, this is a big boys club and they were having a big boys party for 6 months. We're so good.
Right.
We're so great. We're just like great. And then they're having a big boys party for like 7 or 8 days, you know, pounding down some Budweisers and, you know, like going for it. No, come on. That's what they were doing. Yep. That's what they were doing.
Yes,
and you read the first part of this. It's like
drinking.
A drunken,
yes.
You know, party the whole time. And, you know, when you have a drunken party, you come up with some great ideas. Ideas that will just change the world.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They're anointed.
The annoying is flowing well.
Yes, the annoying. And so, to me, I have a hard time jumping into the Book of Esther and not, like, putting in the real context. Mm-hmm. Because this is the place she was, like, propelled into against her will, against the will of the people who, like her, the Jews there. And now she's plopped into this and she's basically in the same boat as the queen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, I mean, think about this. We're preparing you, Athena, to meet the king. Mm. We're going to spend a year getting you ready.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's what they did.
Yeah.
And so we just go right by that. And by the way, she had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We forget, you know, we see this defiant, you know, woman of God, you know, for such a time as this, you know. But the reality is she had to comply with what was going down there.
Yeah.
And they were setting her up to be a concubine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on now. And they were going to, and so she, I mean, for what God knows what reasons, probably the lust of the king is like her beauty and all that. And is like, okay, I'm going to make her the queen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's reckless because he's a worldly guy. And he'll also like, I'll give you half my kingdom. I don't care, you know? So there's a lot going on in this story all at once. And we can just like say, relegate the story to a very simple little sliver of things, which it is a great part of it for such a time as this. She was brought into that place. And I believe that people listening to this have to understand that this is a time in your life today, not tomorrow,
next,
you know, that God's brought you into a place to be significant, to have impact, to if you're willing to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? He might bring you along the way that's not so fun.
Right.
Like not so great.
Mm.
Yeah. We just, you know, it's we're thinking about the woo and the wow. Yeah. That happens after a significant amount of time that this poor girl who's been stripped of everything, including, like you said, JT, her family, her identity, who she is, like that's gone now. Now the world is putting on her another identity.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner or later, and by the way, we want to make her the superwoman.
Mm-hmm.
But you recall when Mordecai first mm-hmm. presents this, mm-hmm. she's like, whoa, you know, yeah. that I'm a dead woman now. Yeah. You know, this is a person. Look, this is the thing. We make some of the Bible stories like fairy tale.
Sure.
This is a person.
Yes.
And it's just like people listening. You are a person.
Yes.
You're going to be faced with stuff that's like hard. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, and she's like, okay, if I'm even going to consider doing this, we're going to have a fast. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. We're gonna have a fast and pray. Now, I may have gotten off on a tangent here. I probably did. I'm preaching now. It's so sad.
It's good.
So that's sad. Really good. But the reality is,
don't stop.
We need to know now in our lives that there are things God's bringing us into.
Yes.
That are not so simple, not so easy. They don't have the nice little Christian, you know, like window trim.
Sure.
And there's pretty. It looks as ugly as it can be from the very beginning.
Wow.
It's a place of, you know, hard place maybe, and then God. Mm-hmm. But we have to like lean into it the right way. We have to embrace it the right way. And you have to deal with all your fears and with all your, you know, misgivings and all your lack of faith.
Sure.
You know, guess what? This woman probably did what very few women would actually do, right? But she didn't do it immediately. She's like, "Hey, if I'm gonna take the bullet here, I gotta know it's God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just gonna go ignorantly into this thing." And I know some of that was, and I know. You know, the Esther fans, like, oh, she's perfect. She's a powerful woman. And like, but guess what? She's a human being, just like everybody, like all of us.
Right.
And we have misgivings and we need to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to deal with it with God and with his people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People, she had somebody significant in her life that cared for her life.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Let's not miss the whole, what the prep was to all, you know, to the couple of seconds.
Remember
of,
who even said that?
Yes.
It was Mordecai who said, who knows?
Right.
For maybe you have been chosen for such a time
such
as
a
this.
Such a time as this. Yeah. I'm sorry. I went off on a whole thing here. I'm just like,
really
this
good.
Is a, this is the reality of this story. It's not a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can make it that, you know, but it's not. And there's a reality that the Bible has significance in our lives now, today.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we take from this is the, you know, what about all those weird stuff that's going down?
Yeah.
These people taking advantage of people and that worldly thinking, kings that want to just impose their will and just wreck. And by the way, independent of, you know, God's in this and it didn't matter to these people.
Yeah.
We're in that kind of world.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm sorry.
Wow. No, don't be.
Her.
Please don't be at all.
I hijacked your.
One of the things, you made a really good point when we come back to the fact that Mordecai loved her and raised her and stewarded her, that he was the one that imparted in her from a very young age her love for her people. You know, and recognizing God and her relationship with God was established because of Mordecai. And then you brought up the word heritage, which is actually something God had me look more into, a sense of identity passed down through generations, encompassing both tangible and intangible things like traditions, culture, beliefs, property, and history that have value and are worth preserving. So if we're looking at this heritage and how when we just walk out our daily day-to-day life, how easy is it for us to set that aside and not necessarily hold on to that as part of our ammunition in walking out life? I was thinking back to what Pastor Bob had said also about being a woman in that time and being taken from my family, placed into this with what hundreds, thousands of other women at the same time. All going through this year-long ritual of being bathed, and I just envision like them being scrubbed down with like bristle brushes and being perfumed. And
hey, back then they probably need to be. I'm just saying. I just want to say.
Yeah, well, it wasn't an insult.
Well, and if they were pulled from this community that was looked at as less than, they didn't have amenities, right? They didn't have these beautiful rose baths and people to come dry them off and perfume and powder their bottoms. They didn't have that, right? So yes, it probably is so true.
I'm glad you're saying these things.
It's very true. And I was thinking for me, how I, like, I, in my own flesh in that moment, would be like, no, thank you. Take me out and shoot me if that's what I don't want to be subject to that. But she was like, okay, I mean, I want this and this is going to suck, but let's do it. And goes, and I think a lot of that came from where she was
bring
coming
on the
from.
Baths.
Right? She
I'm
was
suffering
like,
for Christ.
In her mind, she was already suffering to an extent, right? She had lost her parents.
It's funny.
She
sure.
lived in a disparaged yeah. community. Mm. There were, you know, her people were all looked down upon, and she kind of was already coming from a place. So she's like, is it different? Is it not like? How did she really know? She had never experienced it before.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But she went to it, did it, walked it out, and then gained favor because in that, she was still just her. Like, she just was herself. She didn't try and pretend that she was anything different than who she was. She may have had a different name and had all these things stripped of her, but she still was her. And going before this king in that, like you said, when she defied him, going through it at first, it's like, I literally was like, would I have done that?
Mm-hmm.
Would I have had enough faith and enough knowledge in my identity that God had my back that I would be like, okay, if he doesn't give me the scepter, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. Literally today, right now, when mm-hmm. I walked up to that place, if he denies me, I'm dead. She went there and did it again after some contemplation. Right. And I have to assume that she prayed and she, you know, her uncle gave her encouraging words, but she also needed to speak to God directly, mm-hmm. like you said, and get that confirmation that that was what she was supposed to do. So she did walk it out in power. As we talked about, there was a level of power to her even stepping into that. And then she was accepted and she went before him. She still didn't reveal everything. She didn't reveal everything in her heart. She didn't reveal everything. She didn't reveal who, like her identity, her heritage, her mm-hmm. people. She didn't do it. Her who uncle was. Right? Her uncle had some relationship with the kingdom. So he was somewhat known because Haman, right, wanted him dead and then wanted all his people dead because of him and all the things. And so there was these things that were so strategic in how it played out. But in that, she just walked it out mm-hmm. as herself. Like she didn't put on like a facade to any certain extent. She played the game, but as herself. In the way that I feel when I'm reading this story.
That was a hard game to play.
Seriously.
Right?
It was, it's, if you go through it, Mordecai is really counseling her.
Mm-hmm.
There's a portion in the beginning of when we start to learn about Esther, that Mordecai is instructing her not to reveal who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I, you could look at that and just reading it, you're kind of like, yeah, if I'm an uncle and I've got a niece, I'm going to be like, I want you to live. So don't tell anybody where you come from. That's another part of identity.
Mm.
You cannot express that.
Yeah.
You need to keep it to yourself. But then to that, kind of shifting points here with this idea of identity, as Pastor Bob was speaking, what struck me was that she, Esther, and of course Mordecai was directing her, but she was willing to relinquish her identity because it wasn't all she was doing. If she was chosen to be wed, and she was, then she's becoming Persian. Like there she's allowing herself to be joined to this nation to protect the identity of her people and their heritage and all of that, everything about her people that she herself had to, you know, was stripped from her, that she had to hide and couldn't reveal until she revealed it later, right? She revealed it to the king and my people, and Haman's trying to get, and then boom, it all turned around. And then what? He became the king became the defender of her people because of her. But she had to at first kind of give up a lot of things, or a lot of things were taken from her too. Mm-hmm. But she leaned into that and also was obedient to that, and was also obedient to her uncle who was instructing her. And as she did, she saved her nation. It's not the first time, by the way, in the Old Testament where the enemy of our soul, Satan himself, has been trying to extinguish the line that was to be Christ's lineage. I mean, that's why we get these stories in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, of this lineage and the line that led all the way up to Christ. He once again was trying to extinguish them through Haman.
Yeah.
But his his plot failed. And as the Lord always seems to do, he turns the plans of the enemies against himself.
Amen. Actually, yeah. God gave me that, the story of Joseph in Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people.
Yeah. So good.
Like I said, it, to me, this is a hard story.
Yeah, it is.
It's really hard because I just think of this poor girl. Like she, you know, first of all, this story is a perfect example of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Right. Every single
one of those three are like exemplified here. Right? From the drunken bashes to prepping a young lady to basically be a sex slave. Like, if we're going to really say it, that's what this is. This isn't, she wasn't being prepped to be necessarily be his wife.
Right.
And matter of fact, she had to do this. She did this before she became his wife. You know, she had to lay her, her body down for him. That's a reality. Like, we can miss some of this. And she had to do that. And I believe the only way she could actually navigate that was because she had guidance from Mordecai. Like, he could, you know, I mean, it doesn't look right. It's not right. There's nothing right about this. And yet, she, you know, what are her choices here? You know, she, you know, by the way, I don't think she had a choice to just say, hey, take me outside and shoot me.
Right.
I think they were taking her inside and used her and just kept using her personally. That's how I mean, this is like, I mean, this is a story. I mean, this is a crazy, this is what we are facing this today in our culture in so many ways. You know what I'm saying? And there's a reality to this, but it has some other connotations in their culture with the slavery components, which happens today, by the way. And so there's so much going on there, but without his, Mordecai's wisdom and guidance, and I'm going to just say it this way, covering. Because the king wasn't going to be her covering. I mean, this is, you know, she became his wife, but that, you know, he wasn't any kind of covering. He was worldly. He was as worldly as they get. And, you know, he probably had 60 other wives or concubines or whatever you want to call them, and one he called the queen. You know, so she was being strategically positioned, navigated by God to a place where she was significant and had impact. But it's so funny to me that, I mean, all the things that they are, I don't know, the king and all his gang, this, all the things they were prone to do, God used... right?
Yeah, it's
like, we just saw it. They had a, you know, 6 month party followed by a crazy drunken bash. And what does Esther's suggestion? Hey, let's have a party. Right? It wasn't like, you know, she's in there. She's part of this. And she's like, let's have a party. You know? And and then you read the story. We can miss this. There's a couple of days of partying going on there. And the, when the, you know, if you read the Bible, you see, oh, the king was kind of drunk.
That's funny.
Come on.
But,
well, to me, she is exercising the wisdom of God, right? He's being driven by lust and pride and power and all that, just like, you know, Haman and all that. But God is like, I'll take care of this. You know, you might be propelled by this in your soul, in your body, but I'll take care of this for my good and for what I have planned. And we just think that Christianity is supposed to be this perfect little tidy, clean little thing that just works out so nice and clean. And I don't know about you, but most of the Bible doesn't look nice and clean to me. It looks like a big mess.
It's pretty bloody.
Like, it's pretty messy, you know? Like, I will send my king to the earth and he will subdue the earth. And everybody will, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess.
Right.
They killed him. But for the joy that was before him, he endured the cross.
That's
and
right.
Despised the shame. There was everything on God, on his, as a man here, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all the other stories in the Bible. They're messy as can be, and we just make it a fairy tale. And we can miss the power of Esther by trying to extrude it into a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Just like, I mean, you know, I'm that weird guy that says this stuff, but that's the, that's when I read that, I'm like, oh, there's so much stuff this going on here.
Yes.
It's so messy. Mm-hmm. It's so everything in the Bible is as messy as it can get. Mm. It's just not so nice.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Yeah.
It really is.
All right. So people out there, you're listening to this, we're having this wonderful, you know, especially with the Lord's used Athena to prophesy to you about today. This doesn't just poof, your life is no longer messy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you think that, you're gonna be very disappointed in the long run. But you need to believe in your heart and walk it out in your faith that our God's a powerful God.
Amen.
Yeah.
He so loves you and cares for your life that he will direct your life. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our God. He's a directing God through the mess. Mm-hmm. Either that, he would have to take us out of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He sent us into the world, just like he sent this woman, Esther, into the world, just like he sent Athena into the world.
That's right.
Like, and it's messy. It's messy in the beginning for all of our lives, and yet he's directing it. Yeah. He's guiding us.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Amen.
It is.
It's just so good. Yeah. Anyway.
That's good.
I think a good point that you brought up was Mordecai as the covering, because if you think about it, we may not necessarily have a biological family that we can glean to or look to for that covering, but we definitely have a spiritual body. We have this body that God has given us, right? So he is our ultimate covering, but then he places people here on earth and in the world to be our covering and to love us and love with us and walk with us. And it's such a huge thing because, as you stated with this particular story of Esther, Mordecai was that for her. And who's to say that if she didn't have Mordecai, that it would have looked the same, right? Right? He said it was already ugly, but what would have been different? Would there have been different decisions made? Would there have been different?
So good,
you know what I mean? Like, and we look at that with our relationships here as well, because that is part of who we are and whose we are, is the people that God gives us and blesses us with in our lives here on earth.
Yes.
And then that allows us to get through those messy times, those times, because the Bible never says anywhere that life is going to be beautiful, cherry roses, as we were talking about earlier, like Mary Poppins. It's not going to be like that. We are meant to go through these trials and tribulations in life so that he can grow us and allow us to be able to do the things that he needs us to do.
Mm-hmm.
For his kingdom and for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So I love
it's
that.
Good. Love
wow.
It.
I don't know. Wow.
You can close on that.
We can close on it. You know, and don't forget this. At the end of this story, this young woman has a life to live.
Amen.
Yeah.
After this. This is not the end of her life. Mm-hmm. We close the chapter in the story and go, oh, the book's done.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is there's a young woman of God
walking,
still being directed by the Lord. We don't know the story and where it went. Married to this guy. And by the way, apparently very impactful in the kingdom. Yes. And so it still goes on.
Yeah.
It still goes on. And we try to relegate the stories of the Bible into a very nice little clean and, you know, it's just, let's not make any waves and just make it nice. And meanwhile, it can be really messy and be really great
at the same time.
Time. Like,
thank
that's
you,
the
Lord.
Deal. It's, I'm not sitting here going, whoa, it's so messy. Don't worry about the messy.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
If you spend most of your time trying to avoid the mess, you will avoid God. I'm just going to say it.
Say it again.
If you spend most of your time trying to avoid the mess, you will avoid God. And then, you know, and by the way, with this, like I said, I don't want to leave you on a Debbie Downer, but the greatness of God comes through this.
Yeah.
It's not just the end. It's, it keeps going and God's in it. And, you know, through our stuff, he will be magnified.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
It's good. You said Debbie Downer, and I was thinking Esther Elevation.
Yes. That should be the name.
There it
Esther Elevation.
All right. Knuckles over here.
It's good. Yes.
Yes.
Well, oh, Knuckles for you too. Oh, you did. Knuckles. You did great.
It was super good.
I love the. You know,
super good.
Man.
Yeah.
That is good.
He's so good.
He really is. You too can go out and be designated and placed in strategic places. As long as you are just walking out what you're meant to and you have that relationship with God and with the people around you that God has brought you, give in to what it is that God wants for you. May not always look pretty, but it will be great. And we just thank you for your time with us today, and we look forward to having you next time. God bless.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, go to spiritschoolofministry.com.